Good evening. Actually, mahalo ke akua, which is the Hawaiian expression for thank you, God. And also, la shana tova, which is happy new year for all the Jewish people in the audience, including myself. This is our new year. And this evening, I'm just going to let spirit take us where it will. I've come back from a 3-week journey, and it has been amazing. And I wish I could bottle it and just bring it to all of you and explain it, but I just don't think I can. For any of you who've ever been on a kind of internal vision quest, you just can't explain it because you are in a state of spirit and a state of awakening. It changes you. I actually had the privilege of going to the Hawaiian island of Molokai for 3 weeks. It was a business trip. I'm also a writer and an editor. But, of course, being in a beautiful place like that, you can't help but experience what not many people actually choose to experience, which is Hawaii without all of the development and creature comforts that you find in some of the islands like Maui and the Big Island of Hawaii or Oahu, Honolulu. That's where you'll find, all of the entertaining types of Hawaiian cultural events or different types of tourist things. But on the island of Molokai, it's undeveloped. And for me, it was seeing the real Hawaii. And it was wonderful and amazing. And, again, it's not for everyone. But it was a time and a place for me to, as I always share with you about the soul odyssey and the journey and the lessons, it was a good time for me to reflect in a state of quiet. I think that's why the residents of the island work very, very hard to make sure that Molokai stays Molokai. Because it's a place where you can hear yourself think, and you can hear the strivings of your soul, and can actually ask for guidance and get answers that are easy to hear. At least for me, I felt very blessed that I was very connected in a mediumship sort of way as well. When you're in a place that's undeveloped, and I know there are many places throughout the world that are undeveloped and that are sacred places, I think you can really hear it talking to you. You're not competing with the vibration of all this energy that we as human beings have created with electronics and the way we've polluted not only our air, but we've polluted just even the sound vibration around us. I do want to remind you that Soul Odyssey, this week we are live again, and I'm very, very happy to be back and to connect with you all. And I know that it'll take some of you a little while to get back on the schedule and to remember that we're here. But I do consider us a community. I do want to remind you that this is live call-in, and you can call with any questions or comments, or if you'd like a reading, or you want to talk about your pet, everything goes. I do not have a guest with me this evening because I wanted to spend this time with you talking about some of what I experienced, and to also leave it open for what you may be experiencing in the 3 weeks that since we last met and spoke, and since you were able to call in. So the number is 888 815-9756. I hope that you will call in and share some of what your life has been like. I always love autumn. We're now in the autumn season. Not quite. We haven't had I don't know if it's the equinox or whatever it is that we have in September on the 21st, but I know that we're getting into the autumn season, and in the in New England, where I live, we really experience the change in seasons very acutely. I mean, it starts to change. You smell it in the air. You feel it in the air. And for me, it's always a time of renewal. I get energized. I love the change in the seasons. And I see many new things happening over this next year that will change not only myself, but many of us, all of us. We're going to see a lot of changes in this next year. As we prepare for the shifts that are going to happen in 2012 and beyond. We're all going through our process of awakening, consciousness, and ascension, and it's unmistakable. And I only hope that all of you will find a way or a place or a hideaway where you can take time to sit quietly with yourselves and to assess where you've been and then where you're headed and why and what it means in your journey. And for you to look at, well, what is my mission and why am I here and what do I have to contribute? Another thing, of course, it is unbelievably beautiful where I was, and I loved being able to go into the ocean, and it was a very, for me, it was, first of all, I was overcoming my my phobia of water, because anyone who's in my age range, or perhaps everyone, we all can yell at Steven Spielberg for making people nervous about going in the water, but the ocean from the Hawaiian beaches is so pure and healing that you can sense God. And I wish that I could go in, you know, every day of my life. At this point, it's not possible, but I still carry that sense with me, being back in New England. I still feel, almost like the flow of the ocean current. It becomes a part of you. And when I need to go into a meditative state, I just bring myself back there. I made it a point of and I'll post some of this on Facebook when I can regroup and get back on my own time zone. But at various places, all I did was I turned on my video camera and I just videoed the ocean and the waves and the sound. And I realize I'm not the first to think of doing this, because there are so many CDs and DVDs, you know, just of the ocean. But for me, in certain places, it was just so personal, and it was like I was able to capture and take home with me a piece of this meditative altered consciousness that I was experiencing. So, 30 seconds here, a minute there, but I'll share that with you, because some places that you're able to see are just, they're unimaginable. And I know it's very far from the East Coast to get there. It took over 9 hours in only one leg of the flight. And so it's not many of us are world travelers. So for those of you who may not get there, or at least right away, to Hawaii, to any of the islands, I'm hoping I can share a little bit of it with you. So you can find a center point and experience the power and the majesty and the sacredness of the energy there. So when I was there, I also learned a great deal about sustainability. And I want to talk a little bit about that tonight because after a while, I think we get a little bit sick of hearing green this, green that, sustainable this, sustainable that. Things become, you know, almost rote. They become overused. And we're so used to being barraged by commercials on television and even the movie theater that after a while, words have no meaning. And so when you hear people talking about sustainable this, sustainable that, you can almost feel as if, oh, it's another fad. It's another something that people are just joining the bandwagon to be, you know, to feel that they're being cool or that they're contributing. And I am really sorry for not understanding more fully for those who are really devoting their lives to this concept. I'm sorry, I just did not understand what it really means. And I was able to learn by being on an island that resources are finite. And, you know, God bless America, but the Western way of thinking is not toward the future. It is always consumption. Use it now. Have it now. Have more. Earn more. Spend more. We need more. And I was privileged to be in an environment where many people actually do live in a way that's not only sustainable, it's subsistence. The resources are natural, they're protected, and there are people who fish for their dinner and eat their dinner, you know, directly from the ocean and hunt for their food and eat their food and grow their food. And I think it's important for us to really not look at these things as needing to happen far, far away. Because if you're on an island, for example, the Isle of Capri in Italy, they don't have their aquifer anymore. They need to bring in water for drinking. And, you know, we may not be the Isle of Capri, but water is a limited resource. If we don't treat it in a way that's respectful and replenishing, it can run out. And everything can run out. And maybe it won't be today, maybe it won't be tomorrow, but, you know, there are generations of children that we are bringing into this world who will have to solve these problems. And we can start solving them now, but we really, really do need to change our thinking. And we need to make it more of our own problem. And it's a spiritual problem. It's a spiritual challenge. I hate to say the word problem. It's a spiritual challenge. We can think in terms of being part of the earth and respecting the earth and respecting all of the people who occupy the earth with us. This is our planet. And we need to make sure that we are thinking in terms of a global community. From a spiritual standpoint, we need to think in terms of our resources. If I can teach anything through teaching the seven lessons, it's that we are all connected. We have the divine spark. And everything we do in our part of the world affects what everybody does in the other part of the world. Because we have these false divisions, but it's only one planet. So if we're sucking all the oil in one part of it, then there's no oil for the other part of it. or, you know, if the planet needs its lubricant and we're sucking it all out, then the planet's going to suffer. And somebody is going to have to pay the price for that. So it was a wake-up call for me to know, you know, if I lived on an island and I was, you know, separated from anybody being able to reach that island, how long would I be able to sustain myself? You know, it is a good idea for us to, for those who can, for us to learn to grow our own food. We can learn, and I'm terrible. I mean, I like to eat out. And so for me, I'm going to have to first learn how to cook my own food and how to recognize, you know, the resources of not overspending, of recognizing that there's a lot of waste. Not that I want, you know, the restaurant. It's a wonderful pleasure and privilege to go to a restaurant, and it keeps the economy moving. But it can also be very wasteful. The portions are twice the size they need to be. It's great if you bring it home and you actually eat it, but most of the time people don't eat their leftovers, so that's wasted. And I really, for myself, you know, I want to walk my talk. So I want to, you know, eat out less, cook more, even if it's very simple meals, since I don't think, I'm not going to say never, but I don't think on my list is to become, you know, a gourmet cook, since my list is very long of all the things I want to do differently. But you never know. I might really get into it. The more you're feeding your body and the more you're feeding it things that are good for it, the more you want to prepare it with love and care. So I wouldn't rule that out. I'm just not going to set myself up. You know, I don't want it to be stressful. So I've gone through what I would say are some life-changing experiences. So for those of you in the audience who feel so inclined, give me a call and let me know what types of things you've been going through. And let me help you or answer your questions. The number here is 888-815-9756. Don't be shy. I love answering your questions, and I love giving you some spiritual insights. I do have the gift of mediumship and animal communication. Quite frankly, when I'm able to use these gifts, I feel closer to God, and I feel that I'm helping you and I'm doing some of what my mission is in this world. Getting back to sustainability, there were some wonderful, very smart people that I was able to meet while in Molokai who are working on keeping their island more sustainable, and they're, you know, thinking very seriously, and it's a microcosm. It's really a microcosm of the bigger picture for the rest of the world, the rest of the planet, the rest of you know, the United States. And they were talking about some alternative fuels and you know, there's a tremendous awareness of the limitations of resources, and of don't take more, in what I understand in my limited knowledge now of Hawaiian thinking, it's very important that you see the earth as sacred and that you don't take more than what you can reasonably replace. You know, you don't use it up. You use what you need. And also, many people, if one person had fish and the other person was hunting, they would trade. And so there is a lot of barter. That's a wonderful way to live where you're not, you know, money, it doesn't have to be, God. And if we can shift our thinking, particularly, I've spoken about this in other shows, you know, our way of thinking has always been more, more, more. And who has more you know, whoever has more has the superior life and somehow can lord it over the other people. And it's like a strange way of thinking that people might not value that. That there are people in this world who don't think it's important to be the wealthiest because wealth is not defined in money and things and luxury. And that there are other things that are more important, you know, like family and making sure that everyone has what they need. And I think the economic crash that we've had, and I've said this before on my shows, I think it was the universe trying to equalize some of this and trying to wake us up that there shouldn't be such a dichotomy between haves and have-nots because we are equal. And one of the lessons that we need to learn, one of the you know, within the seven lessons, is that we are each other's keeper. And that if there are people who don't have anything, you know, we need to help them. There are certain people that can't help themselves. And I learned an expression in Hawaii that I absolutely love. It's called malama, which means to take care of. And my friend pointed out, you know, a person in town who needed to be malamed. That was a person who could not take care of himself. So without humiliating him and making him feel like, you know, an outcast or anything less, the community would always make sure that this person had food, shelter, and was taken care of. Because it's the job of the people to do that. And I only pray that in our Western culture, particularly with people who cannot take care of themselves, people with health issues, mental illness, you know, who just have addictions, who are unable to overcome them, that we don't necessarily enable them, but that we can malama them in ways that are appropriate, that help them, you know, for those who will never be able to get on their feet, that we make sure that they're cared for and that they have what they need to survive. For those who can be helped to get on their feet, that we give them the help they need, and that we don't humiliate people and make them feel less, and that we don't judge people for their path in life. Who are we to play God? You know, we are servants of God. We're on this earth in order to, you know, raise everyone around us and to give love to them. I was able to hear one very cultured person, by cultured I mean a very traditional Hawaiian person. I was able to hear him speak, and he made a comment that I found very profound, and that was, you know, you love the person, it doesn't mean you have to love their deeds. You know, but you still give them love and forgiveness because that's what we do as God's children. And that's a universal concept. And if we can live with just that concept, then we are building a world of strong, capable people who can feel loved and who can be cared for. And it changes everything. You know, the more I do a lot more animal communication now, because I want people, and this, of course, was also enhanced by my being in such a natural environment. I really want people to understand the sacredness of all of the creatures and of the land and everything that we see as, you know, as something we own. We don't own anything. We share it. We, you know, we use it maybe if we have the privilege and really the permission. And the more we understand the sacred, particularly with animals, the better we are at being human, because it, you know, I love seeing people who seem very hardened, and perhaps they'll say, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in any of this, but yet when it comes to their animal, and if I'm able to tune into their animal, it melts their hearts, because it's very hard not to experience the unconditional love and the joy and the spirituality of being with an animal. Particularly, I know I love cats, I love dogs, I particularly love horses, all pets. I do find for some people that dogs are particularly beneficial in helping them to break through their walls and their barriers, particularly to their spiritual path. So that's why now I do a lot of animal communication. You know, I consider myself a mystic. My concern is the soul's journey. So I don't really call myself a pet psychic. I speak with them telepathically, and I am an animal communicator and translator. But everything I do, whether I'm being a medium and bringing through messages from the beyond the veil, or I get something from spirit for someone, it's all for the same purpose. It's all to connect people to the things that they just may not be sensitive to as of yet. But these are things that are around everyone. I just maybe have a little bit of a developed frequency wave in my brain, and I can, you know, bring it through for people. But the goal, it's not just for entertainment. The goal is for us to change internally and to see ourselves differently in the context of the bigger picture of humanity and of our stewardship of the earth and our stewardship of each other. We need to move beyond all of the greed and the darkness and, you know, the negative thinking. We need to get past the jealousy and the envy. You know, all of those thoughts just keep us mired in the mud, and not the good way. You know, I think also of mud as, you know, farming and growing. I don't mean in a good way. I mean it keeps us stuck, and it keeps us from moving ahead in our spiritual path. We have the ability, if we are conscious and awake, and if we think about what we say and we think about what we think, we have the ability to move beyond our tendency as human beings to stay spiritual babies, really. You know, we have so much potential, and we have the ability to open up to spirit, each of us. You know, there are many teachers, many guides, but a good teacher and a good guide, their goal is to just help you open up to how wonderful you are, and to help you to know who you are, and to learn what your soul's purpose is so that you can live it every day of your life. Gordon from New York, how are you?
Hi, well, I've never talked to you before. This is the first time I heard your program, but I was going through it, through these listings, and you came up, and I was kind of nudged, I guess, kind of say.
I know. It's called the spirit nudge.
You're funny.
Right?
I guess so. Anyway, I was wondering, I guess it's some, I don't know, it must have been, I was reading it, and it said something about writing, and you have experience in that area and so forth. But I was also, as I was listening, you were talking about your, something about a frequency in the brain. And then you were talking about, your journey to Hawaii. And I was wondering, are there actually places, from your perspective that people go to open up spiritually more?
You know, that's a wonderful question. I don't know which comes first, because mm-hmm. if you're another person can go to the very same spot mm-hmm. and they can feel nothing. And another person is ready to open to spirit and they've done, you know, some of the groundwork or they, I mean, there are a lot of, timing is everything. If you're a person who's on a spiritual path and you go to a certain place, it may be very profound for you. And, you know, so I wouldn't say that some places are going to open up all your chakras. I think sometimes if you haven't done some groundwork ahead of time, some places can actually, you know, blow your circuits a little bit. The best way, if your interest is to open up more spiritually, there are many ways to do that. Now, I'm going to follow your track. You were interested in knowing about writing, so I assume that you are a writer.
No, I'm not.
Okay, so no assumption there. That was just a mental assumption that wasn't psychic.
Right.
But you were curious about my background.
Well, I was reading through your bio, not your bio, but, you know,
the little blurb on BBS Radio.
There you go.
I know exactly what it is. I am a writer. I do editing and writing consulting, and I have been a literary agent. I teach people how to get published. That aside, I specialize in the spirituality area because I'm, you know, I call myself a mystic, and I've been working in metaphysics and spirituality for a very long time. And so my passion is my spiritual path and helping people along their spiritual path. For you, what I'm picking up, which is going to sound kind of like what a lot of people would tell you, is I don't know if you meditate, but meditation would be really good for you. But not just any meditation. It's important for you very simply. You don't have to go and you know, but very simply to always keep your mind quiet. Because you already have spiritual and psychic gifts. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And so for you, it's really a matter of just don't let the world stomp them out. And try to stay at your center point. You might like Peru. Have you ever thought of going to Peru?
Peru, like the Mayans,
A sacred spot, right, a sacred spot in Peru.
Is that where the pyramids are at?
I think so. I have never been there, but Peru came into my mind's eye for you.
Oh, okay, because I had seen some pyramids on Peru and or like Aztecian or something like that. I don't know.
If you were going to take yourself on a journey,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know why this would relate to you, past life, current life, but if you were to choose a place that would be meaningful for you, what spirit has shown me in my mind's eye, it would be to look into Peru and some of the sacred journeys that people take there.
Oh, okay. That sounds very good. That sounds exciting, actually.
Doesn't it? It just really would resonate with your interest level and the kind of are you an athletic person?
Not an athletic person, no. I used to exercise, but after a while I got lazy.
But could you hike?
Hike? I guess it's possible.
I mean, are you possible. Someone who, like, couldn't walk great? I mean, because if you were to go to Peru, it would probably involve hiking.
Oh, okay. I mean, I could walk around all day, sure.
Well, because, Okay. That then I think it would be really awesome, and I think you should just research on the internet people who are taking sacred journeys to Peru.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Or even in some of the magazines that they have at the bookstore that are more, you know, spiritually oriented.
Right. Peru is very hot, isn't it?
It's hot. I don't know how hot. Certainly there have been days this summer that probably would make it cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's a tropical. Somebody help us here. I know nothing about Peru. No, I'm just kidding. You know, I'm very obedient to the messages I get from Spirit. Mm-hmm. But I do believe it's more tropical climate or a hotter climate. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it's that way all year. I think it would just be awesome for you. And as far as developing your gifts that you have already, they will continue to develop along with your spiritual journey.
For instance, if I didn't go on a spiritual journey, because whatever gifts that I may have, I'm pretty sure they're related to healing. And but that's a broad banner. You know that, right? And I'm thinking to myself, do the gifts come out through the doing, or do they simply come out through the meditation, or both?
I think both. It has to do with your intention.
Mm-hmm.
I think the higher your intention, the more your gifts will grow. Because of course, if you want to be a vessel for the greater good, why not? You're on your spiritual journey, and the universe will help you develop them. Because you're not having an inner conflict with your lower self. Higher, lower, I don't really like those terms, but I think that, we're given a lot of initiations if we want to be a servant of the universe. Because everything we do has an impact. And so for you, I think the meditation is important only to keep your mind quiet. I think that you have a very active mind, and sometimes you have negative thoughts.
You're very good. You know that. You're very good. I'll admit that, yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
No, you really are. You're very good. You're very good, because Peru was, in my mind, a sacred spot or some type of vortex. And I remember thinking to myself, that's a place I could go to. So, I mean, I was quiet just to hear what you had to say. But, you understand, right? And
Hey, I've been doing this for a while. You wouldn't be the first person.
Yeah. Anyway, also what you said about the negative thoughts. Yeah, I have issues with that as well. I think you're giving some very good advice. As far as... and I know I'm a little selfish here, but...
don't worry about it.
I don't know what else to ask you about. What was the other question?
Hey, you dialed the phone. You get the time.
Okay, thanks so much, dear. Pilot Baba, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, and he has a disciple named Yogmada. They're coming here to New York... around the 25th or the 26th, they're giving like darshan, that's like a blessing, and that's supposed to be for free. And then they give some type of a workshop for the whole afternoon, which that costs money. I wasn't planning on spending any money, but do you think that might be beneficial to me? For me, I should say. Yeah.
I'll give you my answer. I would give to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel, I don't know a lot about various gurus. If you keep in mind that your guru is within,
mm-hmm.
If a person is a person of God,
mm-hmm.
and you can experience God and love and holiness and sacredness in many, many, many cultures. And I think it's wonderful to experience it. I think it's going to be, you know, actually fun for you. And fun and sacredness is allowed. I think you will really enjoy the whole experience.
Really?
But I don't think there's, but I don't think there's anything wrong with you that needs to be fixed by him.
Really? Nothing that you, the blessing is, it's the spiritual thing. So.
It's Shaktipat, correct? It's the giving of the, of
Darshan.
The energy?
Darshan?
It's like okay, so it's like called the, different things.
I've had Shaktipat before, but never by a guru or a yogi or anybody like that.
It is because it's two people with the same intention, you of receiving love and blessing and him of giving love and blessing, it can only result in love and blessing. You see what I mean?
Yes.
And but I already believe that you are perfect.
Right.
And that you're, and I believe that everyone has their guru within.
I believe that too.
And when, the more you ask, the more you receive. And the less guilt you have, the better you'll feel.
So guilt is something I have to work on?
You and me both.
Oh, interesting.
It is the human condition. And I think that's where some of your negative thoughts come from.
Guilt. Wow. Okay. Guilt.
But it's very common. And that's why, you know, so this will be a good experience for you. It's a wonderful experience for you, but you are already perfect and you are already loved.
Okay.
And you are already forgiven. There's one person who has to complete the circle.
I'm sorry?
Do you know what I'm? There's one person who has to complete that circle of forgiveness. In Hawaii, they call it Ho'oponopono.
Okay.
To make everything pono, which means balanced.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Everybody makes it right with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But in my opinion, you have to make things right with yourself.
And that is the one person you were speaking of?
Yes.
Forgiveness of self.
Yes. For you. So meditate on that.
I'm not too sure what I'm figuring myself for, to be honest, but I'll just ask for I'll just, well.
It doesn't mean that there's anything that's big or bad. It's just whenever you hold in guilt or shame or anything, were you blaming yourself? Okay, I don't think you've worked through all that. I'm not the final authority, but that's what I'm getting.
And you feel it's an issue from this lifetime or past lifetimes?
It's sort of a universal now.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what you're going through now.
Uh-huh.
But it's from a universal now. That's the answer I just got. It may be that you're preparing for your own ascension and your own growth to another level, and so old things need to be released from the astral body, the etheric body, and the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go for darshan,
mm-hmm.
Consciously ask for that.
Forgiveness of self.
Yes. What's your origin? your religious origin?
Oh, well, I don't really have one. I guess it's more Christ-centered if I could have one, but, you know, it kind of...
What were you born?
Well, according to my parents, I was born a Southern Baptist, but however, I find more of an attraction to Hinduism and Christianity blend, but more of a Christ consciousness, which is a little different from Christianity.
I know what you're talking about. And it's a very different perspective.
Yeah, for me, my perspective, I can't really put my finger on it. It's a blend of a lot of different things, you know? It's like I'm attracted to different ideas, Hinduism, Buddhism, Christ-centered awareness. We'll just say
God.
Yeah, but it's like the most valued and treasured principles of those traditions under a universal banner of love. And you understand.
Absolutely. And kind of, you said it beautifully.
No, it's just,
and I appreciate your answering my question that way. You said it beautifully. And I'm sure that people listening can relate to exactly what you just said, because it's an indescribable. It's like with this experience I just had of being in a very high spiritual place, and it was, I can't even describe it. I can't explain it, because it felt like I was in spirit the whole time.
I wish I could feel like that.
Well, I think you probably do. It sounds like you do. But, you know, I'll go, because I will need to get back and see if there are any other callers.
Sorry. Yeah.
No, don't apologize. I've enjoyed you. Like I said, you called, so you get to talk. I believe everything's for a reason. But what I was saying is, you are, you're on a spiritual path, and where you are, and some of your negative thoughts that creep in, that's all that keeps you from being at a higher spiritual level or in spirit more of the time. But you choose, like most of us, we live in the world. We're not living, we can't go live in a monastery or on a mountain. So just remember who you are, and every day get centered and create like a bubble around yourself so that you don't experience, it's almost like, right now, you don't want to experience too many rays from the sun, so you put on sunscreen,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't know if you do, but figuratively.
Right.
Think of it that way. We are now in a world, and this is an illustration that kind of popped in my head, so I'm sure it's for many people in the listening audience. You know, we are in a world that gives us toxic sun rays, because the ozone has depleted. So each of us who, those of us on a spiritual path who are aware and conscious, we have to protect ourselves from these sun rays or these waves. And so we need to put on our sunscreen.
Right.
So before you go out every day, just keep that in mind. And visualize doing that.
Visualize putting on sunscreen?
Yeah, like a shield.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, spiritual sunscreen.
Yeah. You know, my negative thoughts, because I'm very sensitive, and I feel the thoughts of other people, particularly when they're negative. And they're projected at me. And that seems to trigger whatever repressed thoughts and emotions that I have not dealt with, and makes the thought or projection that they are radiating at me even more empowered. And so it's
exactly.
not that easy. Yeah. And so it doesn't feel so easy to just let go of.
Well, so now your plan is you're going to put on spiritual sunscreen and all of those thoughts and rays and all of those things are not going to penetrate you. We're going to give you SPF 100.
Okay.
All righty?
Okay, dear.
So I hope you'll listen in on Thursday evenings to Soul Odyssey Radio. And it's every Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And call in anytime. I welcome your call.
It's interesting because I learned about you because there was one show that I listened to 4 years ago on here that's going to be coming up a little later on tonight, except I'm looking at, I've got the time zones confused because the time zone is different. It's a several hours difference, you know.
And, where are you?
I'm in New York.
Oh, that's right. Well, you're Eastern.
Right. And so I was thrown off, and then your show came on, and I started listening to it. I was like, what is this? But I noticed that I was getting ready to just get out of here altogether, but I got a nudge. And, you know, and I don't know, and I read writing, and something clicked with the writing thing. Okay. But you've been very, very helpful, and I'll be listening.
Well, thank you so much. Tell all your friends.
Okay, thank you, dear. All
right,
you're really
you don't
good.
Have to do that, but thank you.
Thank you. All right. Take care, dear. Bye-bye.
Good night. So, back to the show. That was very delightful. Thank you, Gordon, for calling us. And I'm so happy that Spirit is inviting people to become new members of our listening community. You know, as I was saying earlier, it's very hard to describe when you feel that you're going through spiritual growth, and when you, you know, I have children. I mean, I have different things I do, and I was working intensely on a project. And it's not often that, and I have a husband. Yes, I'm not forgetting my husband. But it's not often that you can slow down enough where you're not in crisis mode to reflect and also to listen and to listen really openly and non-defensively. And so added to my, you know, to my petitions, I'm now asking, you know, God and the universe to help me to please be open to hearing about the things that I need to learn in order to progress, because it's very easy, you know, as a mother, as a wife, as a teacher, we focus on wanting to help everyone else, and we have to help ourselves as well, and we have to grow, and we have to have something to offer our students or the people that we are privileged to heal. I do want to give a shout out to my horse Tonk. I hadn't seen him while I was traveling, and someone even wrote in and asked if he was feeling well, and I think they were probably an animal sensitive, and they could tell that both he and I were missing each other, and we were feeling very, very sad, and it was very, very cute. For those of you who love horsies like I do, when I went to see him today, I brought him two glorious red apples for the new year, and first, when he saw me, even before he saw the apples, he came to the gate and reached completely over the gate, and he nuzzled me, and it was reuniting, and it was just a wonderful thing, and it made me very, very happy. He is one of the joys of my life. He does have his own Facebook page, Tonk the Mystic Wonder Horse, for those of you who want to check in on him. And I am now also doing more direct book editing and consulting. I know some of you have seen my information on BBS Radio. I'm carving out some time to do that, as well as my animal communication, and other readings. My website is www.soul-odyssey.com. You can contact me at Deborah@soul-odyssey.com. Do not forget the dash. It's not an underscore, it's a dash. The show is going to be live throughout the next several weeks. I won't even get ahead of myself and say there may be one week where I have to go to an archive, but I am live. So get it back into your schedule and think of your questions. I expect you to call in and join in the conversation. I enjoyed talking to Gordon this evening, and I'm happy to spend time with each of you. I hope that you enjoyed our conversation. I always believe that spirit brings in the information that we all need to hear. Welcome back, and God bless you all. Again, mahalo ke akua. That is Hawaiian for thank you, God, for bringing me home safely and for restoring my soul in such a wonderful way and for giving me so many new things to share with you. And Lashana Tova for a happy Jewish New Year. And I will talk to you all next week. God bless.